This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So on the Twitter, Paul Nash, appreciate travelling Forest fans need to make their own entertainment. A bit harsh, okay. But wasn't the communal sex doll a little bit much? I really enjoyed the communal sex doll, and I love the fact that the
Forest. I don't know if you might want to rephrase that, Mike.
Why don't I want to rephrase it?
That you really enjoyed the communal sex doll.
I hope it was given a wipe.
I like the fact that the players got hold of it. So I think it did its bit, and obviously that means that either they blew it up inside the Arthur Waite concourse, which itself must have been pretty fucking difficult, or the stewards let them take it through. So
there were two of them,
two communal sex dolls.
And one of them, by the halfway through the first half, had a Forest top on. I just hope they got their top back. Whoever put it on the sex doll. But yeah, yes. Nottingham Forest 2 stars on Twitter said, as Forest fans, we love a TIFO ourselves. But frankly, this is outstanding from Palace, a cracking tribute to Maxi Jazz. Take a bow, Palace fans. And then there was the loving on Twitter. And in the end, Nottingham Forest 2 stars called Brighton fans North France deck chair cunts, which I thought was great.
There's also Nottingham Forest 2 stars have really been going for it, because there's this one from them, the new ultra affiliation, these Super Tree Eagles, which I think might be the new collective name for Forest and Palace fans together, are no match for the stripy sea pigeons. Best get that truck of yours jackknifed across the A23 Eubank. There's a Nottingham South London juggernaut headed that way, your monocle fuck nugget.
Wow.
Also referred to the free motorways derby that's going to happen next season, because that's how many motorways it is between Forest and Brighton.
I know it well. From being a touring band in Brighton, the amount of times we drove M23 clockwise around the M25, then up the M1. My God. My God, it's soul destroying.
Are you afraid of tunnels and bridges then? Is that why you didn't go anti-clockwise?
Well, I didn't go anti-clockwise because it takes longer. That's probably the reason. I don't like queues very much. Up the M11. That'll lead you to Cambridge, though, won't it?
Yeah.
Let's not make this.
Weren't you posh enough? We unposh. You couldn't do gigs in Cambridge.
Cambridge is always shit for punk gigs. Always absolutely shit. Anyway, I think we're probably getting a little bit off topic. But suffice to say, Forest fans had a laugh at Palace, and you know, their ground's pretty great for an away day. So excellent. Let's hope that is actually a thing. And deck chair, see you next Tuesdays. Starts trending, replacing Gordon the Gopher. Okay, shall we do a pod?
Yeah. This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.
Alexa, play Back of the Nest podcast.
Playing Back of the Nest, CPFC podcast from Amazon Music.
Back of the Nest, now on your Alexa device and Amazon Music.
Hello and welcome to what quite possibly is the final match report pod of the season by us back of the nest, folks. I'm your host, Mike Scott, and I'm joined by Cara Skipper.
Hello.
And Nick Gillard.
Yo.
As we take a look back at most things over the season quickly, I think there'll probably be a proper end of the season pod that Hambo will want to orchestrate, but we'll mainly cover the final game of the season, 1-1 draw against Nottingham Forest, who are apparently now our new besties. Right, we've got to start somewhere, people, and it's going to have to be the display in the Holmesdale. Saw the photo straight after from a couple of people that we knew that were sitting down the other end before they made their way into social media. What a tribute. Everyone getting involved. The serious amount of hours must have come in there from the HF. Nick?
Yeah, I saw a tweet earlier today, actually, of them getting the Maxi Jazz thing ready. It took them 3 days just for that part. And when they unveiled the banner with the words on, there was some bloke still there hastily colouring in the white bits just to make it look good. I mean, I had no clue what it was going to be about you, Cara. Did you know it was going to be a Maxi Jazz one?
No, not a clue. No. But it was stunning.
And, and Sister Bliss, faithless member, was very touched by it as well. Put a very good tweet out thanking all the Palace fans. But round of applause has to go to the Fanatics for that. And also for their performance on Tuesday night in the under-21 game, because that atmosphere was unreal.
Yeah, it was. It was a disappointing evening. It was great to go, and it was awesome how many people turned up. For those that didn't go, or you know, don't play for the Plus subscription, didn't get to watch it. It was the whole of the bottom of the Holmesdale was pretty much full. What would you say, half full in the main stands by the looks of it, Nick?
Yeah, there were 6,000 there, and I've been to Palace first team games where there's been 6,000 during the Trevor Aylott years. A really good turnout. So well done to all that paid their £5 or £1 for their kids. It was good.
Yeah, it was great. A special shout out to the little shithouse from PSV that scored the opener and then decided he'd go and demonstrate and show off in front of a series of kind of 5-year-olds in the corner, which is just absolutely pathetic. I really wanted us to win more after that because I just wanted to rub his little grotty face in it, but unfortunately wasn't to be. They were a lesson in shithousery, that team, and unfortunately won, but it was very satisfying to clap the team off and then to everyone to leave before the medal ceremony, so that probably about 3 PSV fans and a couple of members of their family saw it happen. Disappointing, but what can you do? Before we get into the game, I think it's probably just worth covering a couple of other things as well. Cara, can you tell us a little bit about some jobs that have come about?
Yeah, I get no commission on these, unfortunately, but if you head over to the vacancies section of the Crystal Palace website, I'll just read it and just see if any jump out at you, okay? It's a relatively long list, so bear with me. Match day steward and SIA steward, match day retail catering operator and bartender, academy scout part-time, work experience, not clear what the work experience is, academy host family provider, casual chef de partie, apprentice electrician, partnership executive, women's team, assistant coach, women's team, head coach, women's team, casual logistics operative, lead physiotherapist, women's team, under-15s lead coach, commis chef, academy site night security, casual gardener, casual academy receptionist and admin, weekends, academy kit manager.
Okay, so what is it about the casual gardener that you wanted to talk about?
It just blows my mind. I mean, the most notable thing is what's missing from that list, which is men's team head coach, men's team assistant coach, which presumably if you were advertising for a women's team assistant coach and head coach on there, why not the men's team? You can also stick a CV in. Well, if you're staying to train us all up, you know, stick him on there as well.
Because we've sewn up Roy until his 80th birthday, so it's all good.
Well, there have been rumours today according to Football Fancast, that Graham Potter's going to get a Premier League lifeline and is having talks with Palace. Now, these are only rumours at the moment. I know how Steve Parish feels about the rumours that go around, but I'm just wondering, what would you feel about Potter?
Where was the original source from that?
Well, I've seen it in The Express, The Sun, Football Transfers, French Football News. I don't know why French Football News are talking about it. But yeah, reportedly in talks. So whether that's just space filler, I don't know.
I always feel like with Palace, though, even before they start talking to a manager, they put it out to see what the reaction is, you know? So it could be that they haven't actually started doing that yet, but like one of them's gone and got a bit of coverage over it just to see what the reaction is before they actually go for it.
Potter, how would you feel about being the assistant gardener at Selhurst Park?
You could get a lowdown from Steve Bruce, who was the assistant gardening lead, wasn't he, all them years ago?
The Academy Scout one is only part-time, to be fair. He could do that and take on another job at the same time.
Yeah. I'm more worried about the commie chef, because if we get a commie chef, then the Homestead Online will be very displeased, won't they, having a commie doing the food?
Moving on.
A commie chef? Oh, communal chef. Oh, right, okay. What's the difference between a communal chef and one of the normal chefs?
I don't know. What is the difference between a commie chef?
Is a commie chef a communal chef?
Isn't it
a word? Like,
is it commis chef?
Yeah, commis chef.
Are you doing the French pronunciation? Is it C-O-M-M-I-S?
Yeah.
I think we're showing our ignorance towards any kind of food stuff.
A commis chef is a junior chef in a professional kitchen who is managed by a chef de partie. They will learn specific sections of the kitchen's roles.
Right, well, I hope that this commis chef brings back the falafel burger, because I'm really missing it now. There's never any veggie pies left at the end of the game unless you go round to the main stand. It's quite annoying. So if they could sort that out and get me a falafel burger back, I'd be very happy. Right, I know that producer Mikey wants us to be quick today. It shouldn't be a problem on account of the fact that the game wasn't really that interesting. I don't really know where you want to start with it. I'm just going to throw it out to both of you to make a point about the game, really. Cara, do you want to go first? Feel free to say no.
Yeah, no, I can go first. Well, I'm going to use creative license with the question to talk about Jim, who I sat next to in the White Horse, who's a friend of Albert's. Albert kindly sorted me out with his ticket for the game, and Jim was just an absolute legend. But Albert had warned me that he will quickly turn the conversation to Joel Ward, so I was ready for it, and it did happen after about 5 minutes. But the best moment came when in the second half there was that incredible tackle that Ward put in, and then like almost got lifted off his feet. I think he did get lifted off his feet. Everyone applauded.
He absolutely did get knocked way off his feet. Yeah,
absolutely. Everyone applauded it, and then just as it went quiet, Jim went, "That's another year on his contract." It was just brilliant. I had the best time sitting next to Jim because it was a barrel of laughs. And we had a great chat at half time, and then the football came back, and I was like, "Oh, I nearly forgot there was a second half of football to watch." So yeah, I thought it was a decent enough game. It just felt a bit like there was nothing really riding on it for us apart from to get above Chelsea, which I guess is great. It's the first time.
Yeah, as the afternoon went on, I realised how much that meant to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if we're going to see that again in our lifetimes, which is a very, very depressing thought. But, you know.
Are you trying to say that you don't believe Steve Parish when he says that this is the year that he's going to take the club to the next level, Mike?
I'm going to take it with a pinch of salt, is what I'm going to do. Yeah, I mean, can take it to the next level by something drastic that we can't even possibly picture right now. But we're staring down the barrel of no Wilf and possibly another. What's the plan? Training up Paddy McCarthy. We'll see. It depends what he means by the next level. If he means 10th, then it's possible.
Yeah.
He did write a column for the Sunday Times on Saturday where he brought about the fact that there are, since the Premier League's inception, there have been 10 teams that have been promoted and stayed in the Premier League for more than a decade. There are only four teams that have stayed there 11 years or more, and Southampton going down are proof of that. So, you know, staying up next year is going to be an achievement of sorts. But going back to your original question,
you didn't have the who that is by any chance, did you?
No, I don't. Apologies for that. That's some homework for our listeners. They can let us know at Hyatt Back of the Nest, and we'll talk about it on the first show of next season. But back to your
We're not that well prepared. Carry on.
It was your archetypal end of season, both teams are safe game where the sun's shining. And there's a bit of a celebratory atmosphere. I mean, we spoke pre-show about the ebullience of the Nottingham Forest fans, and fair play to them. They were having a cracking time. So were the Palace fans. I bought a new kit, which looks nice. I liked it when I first saw it.
Does it, though?
Like it on television? It does.
Does it, though? We've got one of the questions we've been asked to talk about. I should have prepped it first, shouldn't I? Carry on and I'll find it.
Yeah, so met up with Cara, met up with Chris, who took his girlfriend to the game, and that was good because I haven't seen him for a long time. DR met Chris for the first time in about
years. For listeners, we're talking about Hambo here.
Yeah.
Who has a girlfriend.
Yes.
Also, it's the first time, considering I've been with you guys for two seasons, it was the first time I've met Hambo in real life as well. So it was a very late coming, nice to meet you. When we saw him, it was cool.
Yeah. So did you enjoy the fan zone experience before the game, Cara?
It was all right. It was pretty busy, but it was lovely being out in the sun. And it was obviously nice to see you guys, which I wouldn't usually get to see pre-game. So that was nice, but it was just quite rammed, wasn't it? It feels like they need to extend it a bit, make it a bit bigger, have some more space. But it was a really nice buzz. Everyone was quite excited. Just like you said, a really nice kind of celebratory atmosphere. I do think it's it feels like the end of the season has been about 3 years in coming. So I think a lot of people may be just glad to say goodbye to this season and see what comes in the summer.
Yeah, although people on Twitter are already asking when the fixtures are out. So I think some people are missing it already, but there you go.
So Eze and Elise are friendship goals on Twitter. Asked for honest opinions of the new home kit, especially if you saw it in person. And then said, as you've alluded to there, when the schedule comes up, predict how many of our first 10 games are against the top half teams. Last year it was 7, and the year before it was 7. I think I'm going to say I think the kit is fucking horrible. I'm one of those cheap bastards that used to always buy the kit when it was down to sort of 3 for £50, and I get sort of all three. And the Palace are just such a popular team now, they just never gets to that. So I've gone about three seasons without having a shirt. So I think the last one I actually own is the one where we had a black and a white second and third kit. And that's the last ones I got. So I don't know. You're the one that's got the new threads, Nick. You're the one that was strutting round like, you know, you own the place wearing a new... How much was it? £50 shirt?
£60.
Fuck me.
I know, but I'd had a couple of pints. I thought I'll stud it. And but it's good for Palace to actually get the kit out on time.
That is a low bar.
But it's true. And you'd wonder what the alternative would have been. How far in advance had they thought of that kit? And did they have one just in case we did get relegated in the pipeline? Because you're not going to have a 10th year anniversary one for the season you've gone down, are you?
No, but it doesn't look anything like that one from 10 years ago.
No, it doesn't, to be fair. But you'll get used to it. We got used to it, seeing the players out on the pitch of it, and enough Palace fans bought it. The shop was rammed with people buying it. So,
yeah, don't get me wrong. I don't really care. Cara, sorry.
No, when I first saw it, the pictures of it, I did think it was almost like somebody had taken, inspiration from Spider-Man with the background kind of lines on it. But then actually when I saw it in real life on the pitch, it looked quite nice. I quite liked it. So I did the whole, I got used to it within about 24, 48 hours.
So did either of you have an opinion before you'd had three or four pints?
Yeah, no, I didn't like it. I genuinely thought it looked like a Spider-Man fancy dress outfit and was like, this is ridiculous.
But by the time it went on the pitch, presumably you'd already had a skinful.
No, because I was driving. I'd had.
Okay.
That was completely the wrong answer, Cara. You meant to say I didn't like it until I saw Nick wear it, and then.
If there was anything that could have put me off. No, I thought it looked nice. It was a very sunny day, obviously, and it just looked, the bright colours looked lovely in the sun. But there was I was in the pub afterwards with Heskiff and Vanessa, and Vanessa and me were talking about it at the bar, and a guy there said, don't worry, guys, it's just laundry. And Vanessa went, yeah, it's laundry I'm paying 60 quid for, so I want to like it. I was like, yes, exactly that. But no, I think it will grow on people as we go. Well, it depends how well we play, I think. If we start the season shit, then people probably still hate it, won't they? But let's see what happens.
Well, yeah. And on the question of how many top 10 teams we're going to play, my opinion is always the same. I'd rather not play the teams that have just come up in the first half a dozen games, as long as we avoid playing sort of Luton on the first game or something, I'm happy enough.
Well, like Huddersfield are going straight back down and then they beat us 3-0 in the first match.
Is it playing the teams that are in the top 10 at the time you play them, or who finished in the top 10 the season before?
Good question.
So it doesn't include Chelsea then?
Fantastically, couldn't it? Yes, it's not Chelsea.
Yeah. Who knows? Anyway, we'll find out, and I'm sure we'll have a pod on that when we get to it. Any other thoughts on the game? Do you want to talk about Hughes? I mean, starting and having a damn fine game. And I suppose in that same breath, we can cover the Jefferson Lerma rumour as well.
Yeah, it was. We've said it before, the players need time to bed in for a few games before they start showing their mettle and how good they are. But he was everywhere, absolutely everywhere. And with 10 minutes to go, dead on his feet, which showed how much of a shift he'd put in. But his passing was good. His partnership with Decore is good because it allows Decore to do his stuff a lot more. And I don't know whether he stands out a bit more just because he's shock of white hair and his Harold Steptoe-esque looks. But he just seems to be the player that I remember him being at Derby. Well, you know, when he was a teenage wonder kid.
Just stop me there.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The senior Steptoe guy get done for like Operation U2, in which case let's not like him to that guy.
I don't think he did he?
Well, I'm gonna Google it while you're talking.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But, yeah, he's... I said last week to Chris that we kind of missed Jeffrey Schlupp because he does different things to Husey, but we didn't miss him this week. I don't know what you thought, Cara.
Well, I love Will Hughes anyway, so even when he doesn't play very well, I kind of will run to his defence quite quickly. But no, he was very good yesterday, and he was the player that we all wanted him to be when he came in. And I think just highlighted, like, obviously we saw Maka come on, didn't we, for the last like 15, 20 minutes, was it? But we just haven't really had that like real kind of, I don't know how to describe it. Yeah, that tenacity and that kind of aggression in the midfield in a way that just kind of unsettles people. Like, I think even the players, like, Cech's obviously been great, and, like, Schloppy's done an amazing kind of job for us this season. But sometimes you just want to see, like, someone in midfield just clatter into players, especially Forest, because that is what they will do, is what they did to us at the away fixture as well. And I think having Hughes kind of giving it back to them really kind of put us on a bit more of an even playing field in this game compared to how we played against them at the away fixture. So I really like him. He's what, like, my favourite kind of type of player anyway. So I'm hopeful that we'll see more of him going into next season, whatever the makeup of the rest of the team looks like.
Well, let's just point out, we shouldn't liken him to that particular individual who has been accused by two separate men of a series of things that we won't cover in this pod. So let's give him a nicer reference. Think of something. I was really impressed with him. The fact it was that sunny and he was still running around as well. That's good. I wanted to talk about the Forest goal because, I mean, it was pretty amazing goal. I felt it was one of those that actually we couldn't do a great deal about. And I think Palace did everything that they possibly could after the initial sort of fumble to try and stop it. And it was a fine finish. I don't know what anyone else thought.
It was an amazing ball from Gibbs White, wasn't it? To put him through. And it just made me think of how we need a striker like that. I can't remember the Forest scorer's name, but we haven't got anybody up front that will do that. Maybe Wilf, but he's not really an out striker, is he? He's a winger. But there's been rumours again from the French football website that I mentioned earlier that Mateta's on his way out. So,
requested a transfer.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's not getting enough game time. But to be perfectly honest, you're not going to get much game time if your idea of heading is to duck down and just move your neck up slightly rather than jumping. So.
Well, let's quickly cover that and Jefferson Lerma. I'm very surprised that that came out. I mean, it's obviously from a very good source in Ed Aarons, and it's hard to think that he wouldn't post that unless he knew something that everyone else didn't. I don't know the ins and outs of his contract, but, you know, that would be pretty amazing if Bournemouth paid the amount of money they did for him and then they've allowed him to see out his contract and leave to a team that aren't stellar above Bournemouth in terms of most things, really. I know people are going to disagree with that, but you know what I'm saying. You know, if he's got the option to start dealing with anyone, somebody at Palace must have been scouting him for a fair while and gone to him with a very decent deal. So if that works out, that's, you know, as much as people have reservations about him and he's been a bit of a thorn in Palace's side in the past, that would be an amazing signing. In terms of Mateta requesting a transfer, you know, there's been situations in the past where we've heard about people not being happy and then before we know it, they've been talked around into staying. So who knows? But
I don't know if anyone's going to be talking JP.
No.
Really, I love the guy, don't get me wrong. You both know I'm a big fan of his, but like, he's not been good enough. But I feel the same about Edouard as well. Like, I can't remember who I was saying this to a couple of weeks ago. Like, I think it is time, and I do think this is one thing that we saw yesterday again, is that Edouard's just not quite up to it. Like, JP hasn't been good enough, but like, I think Edouard keeps showing like little glimmers of like the player he could be, and you get like people saying, you know, there's a player in there somewhere, or like, just give him a few games. And it's like, yeah, but he's always just not quite there. And I think he's just one of those players that is caught between being way too good for the Championship, but just not being good enough for the level that we're playing at.
I think he's caught financially, to be honest. The amount he cost and presumed the amount of wages that he's going to be on, I think he's going to struggle to, or the club are going to struggle to find somebody to match that. I don't think Mateta's in that situation. That, you know, it didn't cost anywhere near as much.
No.
Presumably isn't being paid anywhere near as much. So I could see that being an option, just that we don't have any bodies. But who knows? You know, Dougie keeps his cards very close to his chest on what's happening, and there could be another wholesale change, even though we thought maybe this season would just be adding a bit here and there. Obviously, they've talked in the last few days about Luca and Jimmy Mack going. You know, that'll free up a not insignificant amount of wages. I think we can probably leave, you know, discussions about the players leaving to the end of season pod that Hambo will hopefully be chairing, because he'll want to cover them too, and obviously Wilf, which, you know, isn't necessarily there yet, but it's possible that there's enough of a wage structure bill left that we could afford some more players without getting rid of too many. Who knows?
The thing with Edouard is he's a great finisher. You saw his goal against Fulham, and the other goals he scored this season have been where the ball is played through right for him, and he doesn't get many of those balls played through. So we'd almost have to change our style of play to suit him for him to be any good. Which
yeah,
is that's kind of asked about face.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, because he's good when all the conditions are right. But like, how often are all the conditions going to be right? And like a team like Palace, I mean, for all the talk of going up to the next level, I don't think we're going quite up to the level where we can afford to only have a striker that can score when it's absolute perfect conditions for him. And I could just—he's just a very easy player to shut down, because he's not got quite that kind of instinctive kind of tap in him to make something happen when it's not absolutely perfect. I think we're going to end up doing what we did yesterday in a lot of games going forward if we are keeping him as our striker, which is having a fair few chances, but like very few on target and even fewer going in the goal.
Can I talk about chances, Chris? Because we had...
Whoa.
Who's Chris?
Whoa. Come on now.
Yeah, you've been away for a while, mate. Sorry.
Show a bit of fucking respect. Right, come on.
Sorry, man. 31 minutes, 38. I'll write that down. Maybe can edit that out. No, Hennessy in goal yesterday, if he didn't concede, it would have been his first ever clean sheet at Selhurst. Can you believe that? Why weren't we peppering him with shots? Okay, we had a few shots.
We had 15 shots.
But three were on target. One of them was saved by Ayew.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And Hennessy got the rebound. Eze's brilliant shot at the end that deserved a goal from the move that went before it was kind of straight at him. But we know how crap he is. Why weren't we shooting loads at him? I mean, it's just we could get our shots on target. You know, maybe it's because it was the end of the season, we had nothing to play for.
Forest were like packing the box full of their players as well. So I think it was legitimately quite difficult to like get through them. But yeah.
I was going to say, for that exact reason, I think we actually did have quite a lot of shots. You know, do you remember the one that Eze absolutely skied over the bar?
Yeah, yeah.
I can only think that's because Roy said to him, hey, that Welsh guy is not very good.
Yeah. And then the free kick. And you thought, right, we know what Hennessy does here. And me and Will bet that Elise would take that, but Eze took it and it went over the bar. But, you know, it's perfect conditions. How many free kicks did Hennessy let in while playing for us? That's rhetorical.
Several.
A couple.
Greater than one.
Yeah. A fair few. I think he's found his place at Nottingham Forest, because people don't seem to think he's a prick.
There's still time.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there is. Obviously, there's not a great deal to discuss about the game, really. The main thing is we finished above Chelsea, which is amazing. 45 points, 11th. You know, that's still... So we've still, over 10 seasons, only finished between 10th and 15th, which is just nuts. I mean, it's an absolutely crazy statistic, but it's up there. I think the only other time we finished 11th, off the top of my head, someone's going to correct me, is the second season. I think we finished 11th. I wanted to just cover a couple of things. I wanted people to talk about their favourite game of the season, because unlike most seasons, I had trouble thinking about it. And then I just want a quick answer to the rest of the comments on Twitter. So while you're thinking about your favourite moment, let's just ask the rest of the questions. I think we covered the communal sex doll before we started the game.
Anyway.
Well, yeah. Leif Anderson's forehead, as ever. The difference between having a clinical forward like Forrest have and us. The Forrest player never looked like scoring, but had one chance and took it. Whereas Edouard and Potato need about five chances. I think that probably is what you said, Nick, but I don't know if you want to elaborate on it at all.
No, he's spot on, Mr. Leif Anderson's forehead. So, but getting a striker is very difficult. Who are the last decent strikers? We got Benteke, was good in the first season. Murray, who we got off Brighton, was very good. And before that, AJ, who we didn't know anything about in the swap deal for Clinton Morrison. So it's just, I don't know, it's potluck getting a good striker, isn't it? Otherwise, you're going to be paying a fortune, which we haven't got.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. What I will say is, you know, we scored 40 goals this season, which isn't, you know, isn't great. It's over a goal a game. But, you know, Forest didn't reach that. They got 38. We were quite a long way behind everyone in the top half. But there's only one team in the bottom half that scored more, and that was West Ham. And that was only 42. So I think it's a problem that a lot of teams are having. You know, the decent strikers are being hoovered up by the top 10. You know, it's players that maybe we could tempt, but are currently coming to the end of the contract, and clubs just aren't stupid enough to let that happen. So, you know, Brighton scored nearly double what we did, which is incredibly depressing. So there's a lot of room for change, but it's not like we're unique. You know, almost every other side were absolutely dire. I mean, Wolves scored 31 goals in 38 games, which is absolutely pathetic. So you know, let's not think that we're unique in this.
What I will say though is that Dave, is that we've got a lot of players that have scored. We haven't had to rely on one or two players to score, which is a good thing.
Yeah, and we haven't had to rely on Wilf that much since Hodgson's been here, which is slightly reassuring. But I do still think that Aliso's got a way to go. But we can discuss that, or Hamber can discuss that on the other show. The only other comments people wanted us to discuss, Kelly's asked for potential signings, players and manager, and Eagle-Eyed Football and at Cooge 0102 asked about Graham Potter. So quick comment on that, Cara.
Graham Potter, I have no strong feelings about either way. I think the only strong feelings I have about which manager is going to come in next season is that it's not Roy, and that whoever it is, the board / Parish and the board actually fully back them and get behind it and don't do this half-hearted nonsense that we've seen over and over again. And as for potential signings, I think it's hard to say until we know whether Wilf's going or not, because like, what is next season going to look like? If he stays, is it a kind of, you know, he's getting injured more, so are we building a team around him still, or are we saying that next year is going to be a kind of, he's here and he plays as much as he can, but we need to make sure the team is built in a slightly different way so that it kind of survives without him? I think it's really tricky to kind of say until we know that. But what I would say is Leicester are going to lose a hell of a lot of players, and as much as a lot of Palace fans seem to not like Leicester for whatever reason, they've got some really talented individual players, so I would maybe be on the lookout for a couple of those.
Jamie Vardy's stupid eagle dance, the Red Bull guzzling rat that he is. Yes, no, fair point. I'll just, before you chime in on that, Nick, I will just point out that Jefferson Lerma has been known to play at right back, which would be very useful in that, you know, a defensive midfielder / right back is exactly what we need. I think we definitely need some cover down the flanks. At the back, Nick.
Well, what this season's shown is that we don't have to rely on Wilf like we used to, which is a good thing if he does go. I'd quite like the guy who scored a couple for Southampton on Saturday. I don't know if he scored on Sunday. I don't know if you saw his goals. I can't think of his name. Great celebration as well, but he looks absolutely mustard.
I think you know that we didn't.
It'd be a crying shame if he was the greatest of the championship, because he's far too good for that division. As for manager, what was interesting Sunday, I'm so confused with my days with all these bank holidays in this month. Did you notice, Cara, how much more Paddy McCarthy was in the technical area compared to previous games, which is leading me to think that actually Roy is still going to be here next season, and they're actually going to sort of bring McCarthy up to speed on managing first team football?
Yeah,
I really do.
It wouldn't surprise me. I think it's just Parish all over, isn't it? Like, he just sticks to what he knows, even if what he knows is flawed.
But I can't think of anybody to come in. I mean, somebody mentioned to me Bielsa the other day, but I'm not even sure about that, because I know he did well bringing Leeds up, but and they scored lots of goals, but it was just crap defensively.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Leeds still suffered from that, even under Allardyce, who's known to be good defensively. So,
yeah,
it's a tricky one. And as for bringing new players in, it's difficult to know until you know who the new manager is going to be. I mean, it surprised me getting Lerma in. But then we are in an era of not only long throws suddenly being a thing, long throws into the box, if you notice, but also football directors buying players and the managers doing stuff with the players, not the managers choosing the players they want. So that seems to be...
Yeah, I think you've made a good point there. I'd just like to see the manager situation resolved very early on. Whether it's Roy, whether it's... whether it's someone else. Why not Brendan Rodgers, eh? Why not Brendan Rodgers? Okay, so let's just close this out with favourite memories from this season. It can be as esoteric and random as you want. Cara, have you had a think?
I have, yeah. Mine's a very personal one. It was the Leeds away 5-1 win. And it's absolutely pathetic, but it's just because my ex-boyfriend supports Leeds and used to give it large about what a great big club Leeds were. And nothing has made me happier this weekend than Leeds going down. So, and nothing made me happier that weekend than us beating them 5-1. Jordan goals galore, are you getting to robbed of the hat-trick? And yeah, very happy memories of that weekend for me.
Yeah, I did enjoy that Leeds game, actually. I was there. It was good. My favourite moment from the match was Wardy giving MacArthur the armband when he came on, which I thought was a really nice touch. But my favourite game of last season was very early on when we beat West Ham at their place with a last-minute goal, just because it shut the jellied eel munchers up completely.
The jellied eel munchers. Similarly, my favourite moment was the last-minute winner against Leicester, which, retrospectively, put them down, didn't it? So, good stuff. It's also great to notice that we gave Forest 4 points throughout the season as well. Would they have been in the mix if we hadn't have been so shit against them? I mean, so essentially, I'm sure there'll be an end of season chat. So, you'll have a nice long discussion over players going, all that kind of thing. We'll leave that to it. The friendlies have already started appearing in the calendar, so that's quite exciting. I mean, the season's basically going to restart again the moment we catch our breath on this one. I'll see a couple of games of cricket before that's back in. But in the meantime, we really appreciate you listening over the course of the season. Those of you that are ardent podcast listeners as opposed to just TikToking, that's great. If you just do generally... You only dip it in and out, but you watch the YouTube stuff that DR's been doing. That's amazing. Can't blame you. You know, they put in a ton of effort and then we all turn up with a beer and just chat shit for 40 minutes. You know, absolutely. So if you haven't done that yet, please do go and subscribe on the YouTube channel. Follow us on all the usual places, even the ones that are going out of style. I might not have a Facebook anymore, but Nick certainly does. Nick, you got your hand up.
Yeah, well, we banned from Facebook. No, I just want to say I'm leaving my seat after 15 years in the main stand, Block J. Finally found out the name of the lady who I've been chatting to since shit games against Barnsley at home on a Tuesday night in the pissing rain. So, bye, Sharon. Thanks to everybody I sat around for 14 years, because it's pretty much been the same people. Sorry about my bad jokes all that time, and hopefully see you around the grounds. Next season when I can sit behind Hesketh and annoy him.
Yep, Nick will be joining us in the Lower Holmesdale, so that is exciting. Okay, right, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for listening. If you do get a chance, just stick a review down on whatever pod app you're listening to. It really helps. We will certainly be back with a peppering of shows over the off season, prepping for the new ones, discussing signings. I'm sure when there's a signing or something, we'll jump on. Until the end of season review and those, thank you very much for listening, and come on, you Palace.
it's the 90th minute. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.